Our Old Testament reading this morning comes to us from Psalm 35, verses 19 through 28, which can be found on page 590 in the Pew Bible. In preparation for the reading and proclamation of God's holy word, let us first pray. Almighty God, we pray that you would illumine our hearts and minds so that we may hear and understand your word and know and live according to your word in every part of our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit through Christ our Lord, the living word. Amen. Psalm 35, beginning with verse 19. Let not those rejoice over me who are wrongfully my foes, and let not those wink the eye who hate me without cause. For they do not speak peace, but against those who are quiet in the land, they devise words of deceit. They open wide their mouths against me. They say, "Aha, aha, our eyes have seen it." You have seen, O Lord, be not silent. O Lord, be not far from me. Awake and rouse yourself for my vindication, for my cause, my God and my Lord. Vindicate me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, "Aha, our heart's desire." Let them not say, "We have swallowed him up." Let them be put to shame and disappointed altogether who rejoice at my calamity. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves against me. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, "Great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant." Then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading picks up where we left off in our series through the Gospel of John before our Advent series in Esther. We are in the 15th chapter of John, and we'll look at the passage from verse 18 to the first half of verse 4 in chapter 16, which can be found on page 1148 in the Pew Bible. Now, Jesus has already celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples, and he knows that he will soon be crucified. So he shared some final teachings. He instructed his disciples to be united to him. He talked about how he is the vine and they are the branches. And he talked about how they are to love one another. And then he offered some more perspective about the Christian life. So John chapter 15, beginning with verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father, nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. These are sobering words spoken by Jesus. They present a very different perspective on the Christian life from his message at the beginning of this chapter, where he talked about the blessings of fruitful living in a community formed by love that is possible through union with Christ. You know, I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He invited them into a loving community, and now he explains that he had called them out of a hateful one. He told his disciples, which naturally extends to all believers, that the world hates them. If you are a Christ follower, if you are a Christian, then the world hates you. They hate you, Jesus said, because they hate me. They hate me because they don't know God. Of course, some of them think they do, but they don't know him truly, as he really is. Otherwise, they would have listened to Jesus, his servant. The point that Jesus is making is simple to understand, but it is a hard pill to swallow. It does not sound like good news. It certainly doesn't mesh with the popular idea of an all-benevolent God who would never allow suffering of any kind. In fact, Jesus is making the opposite point. If you follow Jesus, then you will experience suffering and persecution. There is no escaping it. It's fitting to discuss the impact of these sobering words today, just a week after Christmas, now that the gifts have been unwrapped, the lights and trees are beginning to come down. We've celebrated the birth of Christ. Now, let's count the cost of following him. Are you willing to be hated by the world? Are you willing to be marginalized by the world? Over 3/4 of Americans say that religion is losing its influence in American life. The number of religiously unaffiliated adults in America has increased by more than 19 million since 2007. While the number of Christians in America has decreased by nearly 8%. Are you willing to sacrifice your own comfort for God? Or are you more likely to sacrifice God to preserve your comfort? The Christmas story tells of a young couple that sacrificed their comfort for obedience to God. Joseph, upon discovering his betrothed, was pregnant. But before knowing that the child was conceived by the Holy Spirit, Joseph thought long and hard and came to a decision that he would quietly divorce Mary. But then, when he was informed through a dream that this pregnancy was God's plan, he remained committed to Mary, and he adopted Jesus as his own son. There's no way that that was easy for him. Joseph certainly dealt with uncomfortable questions from his family, doubts from his friends, the judgmental thoughts of neighbors. All outward appearances suggest a scandalous pregnancy. Mary certainly had it worse, since she would appear at fault. There would be little comfort for her as she carried and bore Jesus with ancient curse still in effect, the pain of childbearing. And 40 days after the birth of Jesus, as they made purification for Mary in obedience to the law, Simeon picked Jesus up and he prophesied, saying, "This child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed." And then, looking at Mary, he said, "And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." From the birth of Jesus, it was clear that he would be controversial. His very life will bring pain to his mother. He will bring about the fall and rise of many in Israel, and his death was foreshadowed. He would be killed. Why? Had he done anything wrong? Of course not. But as Jesus said in verse 25 of our passage, the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. That phrase was used by David in Psalm 35, which we read as our Old Testament reading, and he used the same phrase again in Psalm 69, which we use as our call to worship. King David was a righteous king who feared the Lord, and he was hated without cause. He experienced the hatred and intense jealousy of Saul. He was frequently hated and attacked by neighboring nations, the Philistines, the Moabites. And he even experienced hatred and rebellion from his own son, Absalom. Like King David, Jesus experienced hatred without cause. The religious leaders and authorities especially hated him. We've already read in multiple places through John's gospel how the religious leaders and authorities were seeking to put Jesus to death. And of course, we know the rest of the story about the mock trial, his crucifixion. But at this point in the story, Jesus knew that his death would be soon. In fact, he would be arrested that very night. And it's for that reason that he shared this teaching with the disciples. He didn't want them to be surprised when the world hates them as well. And to make the point stick, he reminded them of his earlier teaching that a servant is not greater than his master. And when he had first taught them that, it was in the context of washing his disciples' feet. If the master is content to wash his servant's feet, then it would be out of line for the servants to refuse simple acts of service that would help their peers. And he now applies the same principle for persecution. If the master experiences persecution, then, of course, his servants should expect to experience persecution because the servant is not greater than the master. And Jesus even gave some specific examples of persecution that they would experience because they followed him. He said that they would be put out of the synagogues, excommunicated, rejected by their community. And he said that people would even kill them thinking that they were offering service to God. And that exact scenario soon occurred, beginning with the stoning of Stephen, and perhaps most notably by Saul of Tarsus, who worked hard at killing the earliest Christians, trying in vain to stop what he thought was heresy. He thought he was offering service to God until the resurrected Jesus showed up on the road to Damascus and asked Saul why he was persecuting him. And Saul, when he was persecuting the church, was a faithful and zealous Jew. But because he didn't know Jesus, he was not a child of God, even though he was a child of Abraham. Instead, though he didn't know it at the time, he was of the world. The world includes all who are in rebellion against God and Christ, from violent criminals to nice philanthropists. All who have not submitted themselves to the kingship of Jesus are of the hateful world. But not all are doomed to be part of the world forever. God called Saul out of the world, which gives hope to all who are in rebellion against God. If God could save Saul of Tarsus, then surely he could redeem anyone. So he said these things so that his disciples wouldn't be surprised when they faced persecution. And Jesus offered further explanation. In the beginning of chapter 16, he said, "I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away." The greatest danger the disciples would face from the opposition of the world is not discomfort or death. It was the threat of apostasy, falling away, turning away from Jesus to be loved and embraced by the world. Now, living in the Bible Belt of a country with a large amount of religious freedom has its advantages. I'm sure we experience the occasional hateful words from people. We see Christianity frequently mocked on TV and in movies. There have been attacks on worship centers. But let us not forget that our Christian brothers and sisters around the world face all sorts of horrible persecution. In fact, the 20th century saw more Christians die for their faith than in all the previous centuries combined. From AD 33, when Jesus was crucified, to the year 1900, we have documented 14 million martyrs. From the year 1900 to the year 2000, there have been more than 26 million martyrs. A Christian research firm affiliated with Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary estimated that over 900,000 Christians have been martyred in the last 10 years. That's an average of 90,000 Christians a year. It's one person dying because of their faith every 6 minutes. 10 throughout the course of our worship service this morning. Who are these martyred and hated Christians? In January of this year, a 41-year-old man named Tai Tai became a Christian. He lived with his wife and 5 children in Shan State, Myanmar. He became active in his church and in sharing the gospel with the people. As he grew bolder in proclaiming Christ, villagers began to hate him. And one day over the summer, while he was collecting firewood, he was brutally murdered. His family fled the village, fearing for their own safety, and local missionaries helped bury his body outside the village. Because he was a Christian, he could not be buried in the village cemetery. Earlier this month in Uganda, when Letitia told her Muslim family that she had become a Christian, they waited until she had left the house, and then they cleared her room of all of her belongings. When she returned, her father cursed her and told her that she was no longer his child and no longer welcome in their home. On top of that, they refused to let her take her own 4-year-old daughter with her. Letitia's mother told her, "You cannot take the child because you will take her to church." These are real stories and just 2 of millions untold. The world hates Christians because the world hates Jesus because they don't know God. How do we endure? In verse 26 of our passage, Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit. He called it the Helper and the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit will help guard the hearts and minds of Christians and enable them to be witnesses. That does not keep them safe. In fact, the word martyr comes from the word witness. This is where eternal perspective is needed. There are far worse things than the hatred of the world, namely dying while in open rebellion and as an enemy of God. To forsake the love of the world for the love of Jesus to exchange enmity with God for the enmity of the world is no sacrifice at all. And Jesus illustrated that point perfectly with a parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Selling all that he had was no loss, because the treasure hidden in the field was worth far more. But following Christ will cause you to act and behave more and more like Christ over time. And as you become more like Christ, you will attract the same level of animosity that he did. But that is no loss because of what you gain through unity with Christ, a new identity and eternal security. The riches of God's grace more than make up for whatever hatred and persecution you may face. Let us pray. Almighty God, give us strength to endure the hatred and persecution of the world, for we are not greater than the Master. Help us to remain steadfast and faithful to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.